Amen. Father God, we give you again this meeting and we pray that you will sanctify our heart, our thoughts, purify our lips, and may your word penetrate our heart and write them there in our heart that it will not and never leave us again.
Amen.
Wherever we go, you are with us. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Yeah, praise the Lord. We're halfway through tonight, right? We are still going to continue with knowing God as the Holy One. The Holy One of Israel. It is not just knowing the doctrine or the Bible. You can know the Bible. The Jews, they knew the Bible. They knew the Holy Scriptures. Right? Especially the scribes and the Pharisees. Of course, the chief priests and they're very well-versed with the Bible. Right? And they study the Bible so well. And they are professionals. Every day, all the time. There are scribes, there are Pharisees. The religious people, the ones bearing the responsibilities in those days. But they didn't know God. To know the living God is something else. It's different than just knowing the Bible. If knowing the Bible would be enough, we would be very good Christians everywhere. There's so many Christians today. But to know God, it is written, God's people knew the outward workings of the Lord. They saw so many actions. But Moses knew God. Right. You can know so many other things in the Bible. You can be very active doing Christian work. Right. There are so many activities today. Everywhere you can see it. But you'll get lost in the activities. But one thing that is most important is to know the living God Himself. If you have Him, you have everything. If you have so many knowledge of the Bible and you don't know Him and you have not experienced Him, you don't know anything yet. So may the Lord help us to know this wonderful God. And He is the Holy One of Israel. We have to have a desire today to know Him. I've known people who knew the Bible so well and read so many books, went through so many teachings and conferences and trainings. My goodness, I myself went through some of them, yeah. But what happened at the end? Many unholy things happened. Right. And terrible things. And so, we all need to come to this point to see that just knowing the scriptures and understanding so many things in the Bible will not change you. Now, Paul was an example. He knew the scriptures. He was a top student of Gamaliel, of a top teacher. during his time. He has the top professor, and that professor has the top student. But he didn't know God. So when the Lord met Paul on the way to Damascus and appeared to him, and the light really shone on Paul, and he had to fall to the ground. He even became blinded. That changed his life. That changed his life. To know the living God, to see him, to experience him in such a way, that will change people. Right. So today, at the end of this age, we need to be those who have a desire to know him. Lord, I want to know you. Even Paul, in the book of Philippians, after knowing so many things, and he wrote epistles upon epistles, so many things he wrote, and yet, in the epistle to the Philippians, he says, he still want to know him. Right. And today, after being in a church life for so many years and reading the Bible and knowing a few things here in the Bible, I must confess to you all, my desire is not to know more. My desire is to know him. If you don't know him, you still don't know anything. To know him is so precious. So may the Lord open our eyes in these days, that we will be stirred up in our spirit, not just to know holiness as a thing, but to know this God that is holy, and to behold him. Then we will be changed into his likeness, into his image. The doctrine will not change you into his image, but when you see him, face to face when you see him, and with your inner eyes when you see him and he reveals to you, that will change your life. Right. So to know God, especially as the Holy One, that will make you holy. And that happened to Moses. Right. When Moses saw the burning bush, he didn't know it was God. And God appeared to him. Amazing, isn't it? God appear to him in the form of a burning bush. And the first thing God wanted him to learn is that he is holy. He is holy. So Moses tried to go near to God. What did God say? Stop. Take off your shoes, because you're standing on holy ground. That God is a holy God. What do you put on your shoes for? Why do we all wear shoes here? Why? Because the ground is dirty here, so you want to keep your foot clean, hopefully. So you need to take off your shoes. When you come to my home, right, what do? You take off your shoes. Why? Because you don't want to bring the dirt of your shoes into my house. And the same thing, if I go to your house, I also take off my shoes. That's a good practice. And if you invite 10 guests and they all wear their shoes into your house after they left, what do? Vacuum? Is that good enough? You know, mop the floor. You need a mop the floor. That means if we come to meet the living God, the first thing you need to realize is to be cleansed by the precious blood of the Lamb to enter into the Holy of Holies. Don't bring all your dirt into the presence of God. It's a good practice. It is really a good practice. But I don't see that practice in the past maybe 20 years. I remember in much earlier days in the church life, even before we started our prayer, we began with, Lord, cleanse me with your precious blood. We come to your presence by the blood. Cleanse us thoroughly. But today, when we pray, and I see so many of us praying, we have no sense of, Lord, cleanse me. I take your precious blood. Or I take Christ as my trespass offering. You should remember the Lord says, no one can come to the Father but through me. Through me as what? Just like in the Day of Atonement, the high priest cannot enter into the Holy of Holies without the blood. Without the blood. Because our God is a holy God. So if I come to his presence just as I am, it's not good. For redemption, yes, you cannot help it to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Just as you are, you can come to the Lord Jesus for redemption, for salvation, right? So that you can be saved. But now, after you're saved, Hebrews chapter 10 says you can enter into the Holy of Holies. Or Hebrews chapter 4 says, come with boldness to the throne of grace. Yes, what gives you the boldness? The cleansing blood. A pure conscience would give you a boldness. Holiness and righteousness. Just like in Luke chapter 1, to serve God without fear in holiness and in righteousness. It is very good to realize this, to come into God's presence, cleansed thoroughly by the precious blood and washed by the living water of life. It is very important to do that. Yeah. So to know God as the Holy One of Israel is very important. Right. Now we come to the Son. The Son is called the Holy One. The first time, even before he was born, the angel of the Lord, Gabriel, told Mary, that Holy One that will be born in you. The one that will be born in you is the Son of God, is the Holy One. Right? Many times we come to the Lord as a Savior. Well, it's okay. Of course he is our Savior. But he is a holy Savior. Amen. So we come to this second point. The Son is called the Holy One. The Holy One. For us today, After we have been saved and regenerated, born again, coming to Him, you need to come to Him as the Holy One. Right. He's even called the Most Holy. Right. So, this wonderful triune God is holy. The Father is holy. The Son is holy. Yeah. To know Him as the Holy One, and in His conception, He was conceived, Mary, all right, experienced His conception through the Holy Spirit. All of us were born in sin. Psalm 51 says that I was born in sin, even in my mother's womb. Right. I was conceived in sin. Right. So even before you were born, you were already sinful. Can you imagine that? We were all born in sin. But the Lord, His birth is very special. It's a holy conception. This conception is through the Holy Spirit. We have to appreciate this. That's why He's called the Holy One. He's not just anybody. Right? So to know Him as the Holy One, then if you have this consciousness within you, you will realize you are dealing with not just anybody, not just with a Savior. What does Hebrews chapter 7 verse 26 says? We have a great high priest, right? That is fitting to us, that fits us. So what kind of a high priest is he? Holy, firstly, is holy. And then? Harmless. Are you harmless? You're dangerous. We are dangerous. Be careful. Don't think you're harmless. You're dangerous. Sometimes we're dangerous and we don't know it. We think we're helping people. But we're passing on a lot of dangerous things to people. We are not harmless. And undefiled. The Lord is undefiled. So wonderful to see such a holy one. And then separated from sinners. Do you appreciate such a great high priest that we have today, our Lord Jesus Christ? Vince? You know the verse. I know the verse. We all know the verse. We read that quite a few times in keeping the feast. Hebrews 7:26. But have you stopped to ponder upon these verses and all this quality and characteristics of our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is holy, He is harmless, He is undefiled, He is separated from sinners? Many times we do not feel that. Right? It's because we don't pay attention to this matter. We've read it through, right? We just read it through. Okay, I know Hebrews 7:26, and that's it. But there is no inward realization that we have such a great heavenly high priest. Yes, we know we have a great high priest. But what kind of a great high priest? We didn't care so much. We are very general. We are not very specific. Knowing our Lord. Well, I know it's Vince. I know Vince for so many years, but do I really know you? Not sure. I'm not sure I know you. Not like you, Dad. He really knows you. But I don't know you. But I know you. And yet I don't know you. We know that our Lord Jesus is our great heavenly high priest, or wonderful, and even we know his name is Melchizedek. Right? And yet, there is no inward realization. You need to come near him. Do I know you, BJ? I know your face. I know your name. But apart from that, of course, I also know you're studying architecture. And I know where you went to school. But I think if somebody asked me more about you, I'd be scratching my head. Because I don't know you. Neither do you know me. And if this is the way we know the Lord Jesus, then we really don't know him. Now you realize why Paul says, I want to know him. For Paul, he didn't know enough of this great and wonderful person. Right? And if you want to experience more of him, you need to know more about him. You need to approach him. You need to have a desire to ask him, Lord, show me yourself. Right. And so the first thing that Moses learned is our God is a holy God. Even in Mount Sinai, whole people need to know that God is holy. Don't come up to this holy mountain, otherwise you won't live. Both men and animals, regardless of who or what they are, you cannot go up unless God asks you to go up. Right. So don't think it is simple. Don't think it is simple. Right. And we are not that holy. So the Lord is the Holy One. Right. There's a few things that are added to the outline. His conception is very special. I appreciate his conception. It's not just a knowledge, oh, he was born of the Virgin Mary. All the Catholics believe that. Right? The Virgin Mary. And they still believe that she's still a virgin, although she's no longer a virgin. So strange. For them, it's just a doctrine, you know. But nobody asks why the virgin birth. Why? Because sin is transmitted from male. Adam begat Abel, right? And it keeps on, right? So you can really see that all the births is from the seed of man. And so from Adam's sin came down from generation to generation. But the Lord Jesus, his birth was not from the seed of man. He was from a virgin. And the conception is not through any man, is not through a fallen human being. And so sin is not transmitted into him. And the very source of that conception is the Holy Spirit. So right from the very beginning, even in the mother's womb, in the virgin's womb, he was called the Holy One. Amen. He was called the Holy One. We need to appreciate that. And that's why in a few verses it says, sin is not in him. Sin is not in him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 5 says, in him there is no sin. Sin is not even existing in him. And like David, David says, I was born in sin. Even in my mother's womb, I was conceived there in sin. But with the Lord Jesus, the Holy One, sin is not in him. In him, there is no sin. How wonderful. He's the only human being born on this earth that has no sin. Can you say that sin is not in you? No. And Paul says, sin dwells in me. In my flesh, I know that in me, that is in my body, in my flesh, sin dwells. That's why this is called the body of sin. And we all have trouble with this body of sin that turned into the flesh. And we're carrying this with us around wherever we go. That's why we are susceptible to temptation. And it's hard to resist. And then it says here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, at the very last verse, he who knew no sin, right, he who knew no sin, never ever experienced, right, because he's God, he's so pure, right, there's no sin. That is how pure God is. He knew no sin. Meaning to say, he never came in touch with any sin. It's non-existence in him. Absolutely zero exposure to sin. That's what it means, he knew no sin. It doesn't mean that he didn't know what sin was. Of course he knew. It's not the knowledge in the head, but it is his experience with this evil. No, there was none. He knew no sin. That's why God can make him to be sin for us. That's why he's the only one qualified to be our sin offering. To save us from sin and qualify to bear all the sin of this world upon his own body on the cross. We take it for granted. We don't really truly appreciate that we are being cleansed. That's why we take the blood of the Lord Jesus in a very casual way, as if it is just like I'm taking a shower, using a piece of soap, wash myself. So common. But the way the Lord washed our sins, my, he went through all these sufferings, he went through all the beatings. He went through all the challenges of sin in his whole life of 33 and a half years, and he came up clean. Can you imagine he came out clean? How old are you?
26.
26. Never sin. Yeah. 26 years of sin. That's an awful lot of sin. And the older we are, the worse sin we commit. But the Lord went through his whole life there, untainted. Sin couldn't penetrate him. He was victorious. He was in all aspect tempted just like we, and yet he committed no sin. Do you appreciate that? Have you ever given thought that our Lord is such a holy Savior? Those false, I don't know what, Buddha or something like that, they call themselves holy. I tell you, the worst ones. Were those people. A couple of years back, we were in Thailand, and the head of the Buddhist, he's the high priest of the Buddhist, was caught in all kinds of sinful, evil things, including money laundering, including terrible, immoral things. And he's the top. And that shook the whole Buddhism in Thailand. What are we going to say? Look at the Pope and look at all the priests in Roman Catholic Church. So many thousands and ten thousands and I don't know how many thousands of years of child abuse, including in the Philippines. You know, Dr. Jose Rizal, the national hero in the Philippines, wrote those two books, describing also and exposing the evil done in the Roman Catholic Church. Right. So, religion is unholy, the most unholy. Right. So, but our Lord Jesus went through all kinds of tests and came out holy and pure. Amen. Victorious. We need to learn to appreciate that. He committed no sin. In all points tempted, yet without sin, in Hebrews 4:15. That's why he's able to help us. Amen. Because he went through and he won. And of course, Hebrews 7:26 says he's harmless, he's undefiled, holy, of course, separated from sinners. And now he's high above all. He's in the heavens. What a holy Savior we have. So we have to know this wonderful Redeemer. We know the wonderful Father. Now we have to know this wonderful Redeemer. So such a holy one is qualified to be our sin offering. And that's why we need to all appreciate what Isaiah wrote in chapter 53. He went through all kinds of sufferings. The Lord went through all kinds of suffering. Amazing. Amazing. We just suffer a little bit and we already melt down. We're already complaining. And just a little bit different than what we're used to. Oh, we're already murmuring and complaining and oh, terrible. And even just for a short period of time, we already complain. Are you like that? I don't know. Maybe you're not like that. Who is not like that? Raise your hands if you're not like that. Right. We are like that. Just a little bit. Suffering a little bit. Oh, my goodness. If your parents corrected you a little bit, you're already... tears rolling down. Can't sleep anymore at night. We already have problems. And we already react. Just a little bit. We couldn't take it. But the Lord went through all these sufferings. You need to be like Him. We sang this song tonight. Oh, it's a beautiful song, right? Isn't it beautiful? Beautiful singing too. But it really takes time and your heart, whether you desire. Don't be afraid that when you walk out and go home, back to where you came from, that oh, you'll forget everything. No, but the Lord is with you. If such a Christ dwells in you and you begin to start to know Him wherever you go, it'll be the same. Yeah. If it just depends on the conference, then I will advise you all to please stay home. No need to come. No. But when we come here to fellowship and to get into the Word of God, it is to equip us so that when we go back, we will be well equipped to do the work of the ministry, to experience this wonderful Christ. And that's why the conference is here for. But if you just walk out of this room and forget about it, no need to come. Really. Because we're not here just to know something about the Bible. We're here to pursue this wonderful Christ together. Right? And such a holy one dwells in you, in me, in all of us. Right? The conference cannot follow you wherever you go, okay? But the one that we are talking about in this conference will follow you wherever you go. And He will never leave you. And He promised him at the end of the book of Matthew, "Behold, I am with you if you are behaving." No, He says, "Behold, I'm with you always until the end of the age." He will never leave you, even if you fail. The Lord is not afraid of your failures. He knows you and I, we will fail a lot, but He'll bring you up again. Right? If you fail 7 times, you can stand up 7 times. 70 times, the Lord says, stand up 70 times. Even 7 times 70 times. That's why the forgiveness is 7 times 70. Peter thought only 7 times. The Lord says, no, 70 times 7. The Lord will always bring you up. If you're willing, and I'm sure you and I, we are all willing. Okay, if you're not willing, the Lord will wait. But our heart has a desire. Otherwise, what are you doing here? Why do we come together? Because we do have the heart. We do have the heart. I don't think you came to California to tour, right? Or to see something in California. But we come because we are pursuer of Christ. We want to gain Him. And we are here to pursue holiness. Right? And then when you go home, that is when you apply it. Amen. It's just like taking a lecture. In university, then you go home, you learn, you apply it, you practice it. Right. So praise the Lord for such a wonderful Christ who went through all sufferings. I appreciate that. Yeah. Willing to suffer. Many of us are not willing to suffer. No. No. But praise the Lord. We are willing, thank you, brother, we are willing to suffer through Christ. And there are many opportunities. At home, if you are in a conference, there is no opportunity to suffer. Just a few, maybe, vacuuming the floor, but that's not suffering. That's not suffering. But when you go home, that's where you will experience the suffering of Christ. So, don't stay in the conference. Go home after the conference. Because it is there when you leave this place that you have plenty of opportunities now to apply what the Lord has shown us here. Praise the Lord. This is the truth. Right. Amen. And the Lord, as such a holy one, he confronted Satan. And Satan tried his best to pull him down. We all knew Matthew chapter 4, and the Lord overcame the temptation. The Spirit led him after the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. Right. Satan lost. I don't need to tell you about the details of the temptation. You can read it yourself. But the Lord was all the time there, victorious. With us, just a little temptation. Right? The Lord was there. Oh, what happened? Oh, I'm sorry. Oh, my goodness. Oh, sorry. A little suffering. Praise the Lord, it's just water. Don't worry about it, it's just water. It'll dry. Yeah, especially in this room. Mm-hmm. Maybe we don't need this, you know. Do we need this? Huh? So, yeah, we don't need this. Yeah, we don't need this. We are very simple. Right. So, the Lord, oh, thank you. I'm going to put it here in the middle. We cannot even stand a little temptation. Right? Sometimes somebody just say one sentence to you and you're ready. A little explosion happened. Just one little sentence. Especially between husband and wife and at home. Just one little sentence and wow. You pull out your weapon of destruction. So much reaction, we cannot take it. Right? Even to be hungry for after breakfast, after 3 hours, you're already very hungry, you can't even stand it anymore. I'm starving to death. Well, the Lord did not eat for 40 days. But for 4 hours, you cannot stand. For 4 hours, you cannot stand. But the Lord, after 40 days, Satan knew, I'm going to get him. Turn that stone into bread. And the Lord would say, oh, it's so easy. Not just one piece of bread. It'll be enough to feed 10,000. But the Lord didn't do it. Amen. No. The Lord will never succumb to temptation. Right? So wonderful. And the Lord will not tempt God. And all the riches in his world is nothing to him. Nothing to him as a man. Right? But for us, we cannot resist. That's why we need this Christ. We need to appreciate, to experience what he is so that we can be like him. Right? And then in John 16, verse 33, the Lord told his disciples, in the world you have tribulation. You'll have so much problems. Oppression, opposition, people who persecute you. Right? But the Lord says, fear not, for I have overcome the world. Look at the opposition the Lord has endured. Terrible opposition. With lies, with hypocrisy, with trying to murder him, put him down. God. But the Lord overcame all this. What a wonderful Christ. Yes, because he is the Holy One. Amen. He's the Holy One. So to appreciate such a wonderful Savior, he's not just our Savior. He's not just our Redeemer who died for us on the cross. But before he died on the cross, he has to accomplish, to go through all of these. Then he will be qualified to go to the cross to bear all of our sins. And then the Father, who is holy, is willing to accept what he has accomplished. Yeah. So what the Lord has done to qualify him to be on the cross as a man. Right? He went through all kinds of trials that none of us and no other man on this earth could have gone through. Praise the Lord. And Hebrews says he was perfected as a man through sufferings. Suffering is not all that bad for human beings, because we are fallen, we are sinful. We have the flesh, we have the ego, the self there. Without sufferings, you cannot be saved to the uttermost. You cannot be perfected. So don't shy away from suffering. Are you afraid of suffering? Are you sure? Don't shy away from suffering. It is needed. It is necessary. Like our brother shared this morning, chastening is necessary. Discipline is necessary. The rod is necessary. Spare the rod. But the proverb says, you spoil the child. And the father is not going to spoil us. So suffering is very necessary. You should appreciate it. You should thank God for the suffering. Don't be afraid of suffering. It's good for you. It's really good for all of us. Yeah, in a marriage life, in a family life, at work. Right? Even sickness sometimes is really helpful for us. we thought it's so bad. Well, it's a chance for you to gain Christ, to experience the Lord. Right. So may the Lord open our eyes to see what a holy Savior we have. Christ is such a wonderful Savior. Right. And all this qualification of this Holy One, God has given him to us, but not just as is. He has gone through all the human experience. Not easy. Not easy. Definitely not easy. May the Lord give us more appreciation of this Holy One, the Son as the Holy One. Praise the Lord. So when he became a man, that was wonderful. And when he ascended to the throne, he is the holy priest there, harmless, undefiled, separated from sinners, higher than the heavens now, and even sitting on the throne. A wonderful Christ. With such a Christ, you think you can make it? As a Savior, as our great Heavenly High Priest, interceding for us, indwelling us. And so the more we behold him, and this is how to behold him. When we read a word, we must behold him. We are not just reading black and white here. We are beholding this wonderful Savior. And the more we behold him as he is, then we shall be like him. And when we see him one day, John says, then we will fully be like him. John says, today we are not like him yet because we don't see him fully as he is. But one day when he comes back, and we see him, we will be like him. We will be like him. But today, we can gradually see him. That's why today it is from glory to glory. Right. The more we see him, the more we will be changed into his likeness. The more we will be holy as he is holy. It is not the teaching, but it's the beholding. So when you come to the word, what we want to do is to see him. It's not the teaching. You like to teach? Okay. What is your favorite doctrine? Everybody has his favorite doctrine. But we don't have a favorite doctrine. We have a wonderful Savior. We have a wonderful living triune God who is so holy. To know him is better than knowing anything else. Right. One thing I have desired in heaven and on earth, all I want is this wonderful God. No other desire but this wonderful God. And in the house of God, one thing we desire is to behold the beauty of the Lord, his holiness. His expression in all of his wonderful characteristics. It's a wonderful Christ. And the more we behold him, the more we will be changed into likeness through the indwelling Holy Spirit. But then you need to have your face unveiled when you read the Holy Scriptures. Today when I come to this book, I don't desire to just understand. I desire to see him. I desire to see him. Right. It's not giving a message. It is knowing him. Right. With an unveiled face, and we behold and we reflect. And the Spirit will change us into his image from glory to glory. So tonight we stop here to ponder, to meditate, to consider this wonderful Christ. And more, of course, we cannot dig out every point in the Bible. But through these few points that we have seen here, it will help you to discover many, many more aspects of this wonderful Christ. Then things will happen in your life. When the light shines, you know your life will be changed. Yeah? Praise the Lord. Amen. Tomorrow evening we'll talk about the Holy Spirit. Praise the Lord. The brothers will continue with the outline tomorrow morning, Saturday morning, right? And then we have Sunday, the feast, and then perhaps one more session, and then the Lord's Day evening, another session, and then Monday morning. So, I really hope the Lord will open our eyes to remove the veil to see this wonderful Christ. And remember, yes, we love this word. Why? Because it is in this wonderful word that we can see Christ. No wonder at the very end of the Gospel of Luke, the Lord opened the eyes of the two disciples on the way to Emmaus. The Lord opened their eyes to show them from Moses, all the five books of Moses, and the Psalms, and the prophets. The Lord Jesus says, they all speak concerning me. So when you read the book of Moses, what do you see? The law? You have to see Christ. Even in Genesis chapter 1, all of those wonderful creation, right, is a wonderful, are wonderful figures of Christ. No wonder you have the four living creatures. You have the face of a man in the front, because the Lord Jesus is a real man. He is only the only pure man. The only one that is holy and perfect. Right? And on the right-hand side you have the what? You have the ox. Right? And the left-hand side you have the lion. Huh? Don't you know the Lord has a lion face? And he has an ox face? And then on the back side you have the eagle. Right? Yeah. The Lord brought his people out of Egypt with what kind of a wing? The eagle's wings. Why, everything is a description of Christ. The tree of life. Even the light. The Lord says, I am the true light. Everything there in Genesis chapter 1. Of course, man is created in the likeness of God, in the image of God. And Colossians tells us, and Paul also wrote to us in his epistles to the Corinth, right, that Christ is the image of the invisible God. So even that, right in chapter 1 of Genesis, who is the image? What is that image? Christ is the image of the invisible God. He is everything. And of course, most of all, he's the tree of life there. He's the tree of life. It's wonderful. So we need to know Christ, to find out this wonderful Christ, and most of all, to appreciate him as the Holy One, since we are talking about the matter of holiness. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. We spend